Today's scripture reading is from the book of John, chapter 15, verse 26-27, and chapter 16, verse 4b to 15. When the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. Chapter 16, verse 4b. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you, but now I'm going to him who sent me. None of you asked me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. The word of the Lord.
A very blessed morning, brothers and sisters. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we ask for your Holy Spirit to guide us through and to speak to our hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Recently, I chatted with my mother over the phone. As usual, we shared about the younger ones in our family. And my nephew, my sister's child, will go to another city for master program very soon. And on my side, my son is going to start his NS next year. And so my mother worried about them leaving home and to start something new, and, you know, they're going to live like kind of like on their own now. So this made me imagine for the first time the situation of the disciples after Jesus left them, after Jesus ascended to heaven. In John 16, toward the end of Jesus' ministry on earth, he told his disciples, "Now I am going to him who sent me." Soon after that, as most of us know, Jesus was arrested and was crucified. This was his first separation from the disciples. And on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. Within 40 days, he appeared to the disciples many times, strengthening them, relieving them from the guilt by denying him, and teaching them about the kingdom of God. Then he ascended to the Father. This was the second separation between Jesus and the disciples, and it was a very, very long one. And Jesus has not returned ever since. The disciples has been following Jesus for 3+ years. During the time when Jesus was still with them, he handled everything himself. They had nothing to worry but to follow him and to listen to his instructions. They had once enjoined the wine at a wedding feast, which was miraculously turned from water by Jesus. They were all amazed and saw his glory through it. And when Jesus met the Samaritan woman at the well and noticed her spiritual thirst, he engaged in conversation with her. And all of the disciples saw it and were simply puzzled by Jesus speaking with such a woman. And when Jesus healed the man born blind and then called Lazarus, who had been dead for 4 days, out of the tomb, the disciples simply followed Jesus and witnessed these miracles. Also, the disciples heard Jesus calling to the Jews, urging them to believe in him and to believe that he was sent by God the Father. They also witnessed the Jews' disbelief and resistance. However, at that time, they did not have to confront the Jews themselves. Jesus did many more amazing things until his final departure. He has said that he would send the disciples out. They are to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom of God, to witness to nations that Jesus is the Son of God, so that people could have faith in him and to follow him, become children of God, and enjoy abundant life. Now, it was time for the disciples themselves to take on the responsibility and to accomplish the mission entrusted by Jesus. Just as children leave home when they grow up, it is not easy, but every child must take the step and learn to face real-life challenges. The disciples will learn to face challenges themselves when Jesus is not around. They will experience rejection, hostility, and persecution, being cast out from synagogues, and even being killed. To witness for Jesus means that they must uphold their faith in such a very dangerous situation. It also means that they need to point out sins such as idol worshiping, lie, jealousy, deceit, wickedness, and so on, and call for repentance. It also means that they have to encounter many in need, the sick, the demon-possessed, those without food or clothing. Indeed, what an incredibly challenging task it is for such a tiny group of people. Brothers and sisters, upholding the truth, proclaiming the gospel, and bearing witness to Jesus is the mission given to every church and every Christian. For the modern church, it is still an extremely challenging task. Nearly 2,000 years have passed ever since the church was established. Starting from Jerusalem, the gospel was spread to Africa and Europe and then to Asia. Today, compared to 2,000 years ago, Christians are no longer just a tiny group. According to 2020 statistics, Christians now make up 32% of the world's population. However, the brokenness of the world and struggles of humanity still persist. Today, humanity is in its fastest and most vigorous period of development in terms of civilization and scientific technology. Scenarios we could only see from science fiction movies 10 years ago are now appearing in our real lives. However, our lives have not become easier as a result. On the contrary, these advancements have brought us deeper anxiety and have caused more isolation among people. Let me use device and social media as example. In this digital age, we are all so used to handphone and devices that more or less we all forget how to rest. Felicia Wu, a cultural sociologist, in her book says, when we try to rest, we are restless because we reach for our phones and devices because we don't know what else to reach for. And how about social media? Scientific paper proves that the use of social media can lead to tremendous stress, pressure to compare yourself to others, and increased sadness and isolation. Human beings are having great mental and spiritual needs, which can only be met by God, our Creator. But on the other hand, postmodernism makes it even harder because postmodernism says that every individual has his or her own truth rather than submitting to a universal set of laws or ethics. You determine what is right and wrong. And the gospel, the absolute truth of God, sounds unreasonable and outdated. If you ever try to share the gospel with your unbeliever friends or family members, you probably can echo with me. Then, let's also have a quick look at the situation of our church in this postmodern world. G.I. Packer points that ignorance of God is the root of the church's weakness, which was produced by two trends. The first trend is Christian minds have been conformed to the modern spirit. And this spirit generates great thoughts of man and leaves room for only small thoughts of God. And the second trend is Christian minds have been confused by the modern skepticism. Actually, this is a quite old book published 52 years ago. And today, the situation of church does not get any better. The ignorance of God, ignorance both of his ways and of the practice of communion with him, is still weakening the church of Christ. And brothers and sisters, we do not know enough about God. We do not know enough about his ways. And how can we accomplish the mission in this postmodern world? Let us come back to John 16. At that time, not only did Jesus told the disciples that he's departing soon, he also said, "But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you." Indeed, after Jesus left, the disciples were not going to carry out the commissions alone. The Holy Spirit would be sent, and it is him who enables the disciples and makes the mission possible. The Holy Spirit works powerfully and pervasively in the lives of his disciples. He bears witness to Jesus in their hearts and enables them to bear witness to Jesus in the world. 10 days after Jesus left them, the Holy Spirit did come. This happened on the first Pentecost. The disciples were hiding and praying in an upper room in Jerusalem. And suddenly, the Holy Spirit came like a rushing wind, and appeared like flames of fire that settled on each person's head. These people began to speak in the languages of other countries, proclaiming what God did through Jesus. Then Peter stood up and boldly spoke to the crowd, telling them that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior promised by God in the Old Testament. That day, 3,000 people came to believe and were baptized. From that day on, the disciples were completely transformed. Peter, in Jesus' name, made a lame man stand up and walk. He and John also bravely testified about Jesus before the Jewish authorities. This small group of Jesus followers, empowered by the Holy Spirit, did many, many unimaginable things. Even they left Jerusalem for other cities under persecution, they still bore witness to Jesus wherever they went. And then there is the Apostle Paul. We are quite familiar with him, right? And the Holy Spirit led him and his co-workers, took them to Asia Minor and all the way to many cities in Europe to carry out the mission. The Holy Spirit is the presence of Jesus when Jesus is absent. He is like a spotlight on a stage. A spotlight never let anyone focus on himself, but always draws people's attention to Jesus and helps them to see Jesus clearly. Secondly, the Holy Spirit teaches about the truth of Jesus. He is also addressed as the Spirit of Truth in John 16. When Jesus was with the disciples, they were not able to fully understand the words of Jesus. Neither could they fully understand Jesus' crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension. Then, when the Holy Spirit came, he taught the disciples the truth of Jesus and led them deeper within the truth. The disciples reflected on Jesus' birth, ministry on earth, including his crucifixion and resurrection, under the light of the Old Testament. They realized that Jesus was the salvation of God, the fulfillment of God's promise. And so they began proclaiming the gospel. They also wrote to various local churches to address misunderstandings about the truth of Jesus, to resolve issues within those communities, and to pass Jesus' teachings and actions to new generations. Guided by the Holy Spirit, certain writings were selected and compiled to form what is now known as the New Testament. And brothers and sisters, the church does not accomplish Jesus' mission alone either. Ever since the Holy Spirit descended on the first Pentecost, he has been at work within Church of God all the years along. Indeed, the Holy Spirit is the way, the presence of the Father, and the Son is experienced on earth. He has never ceased to testify about Jesus and to illuminate hearts, making the truth of Jesus known. In our community worship, during our small group gatherings, and in our personal Bible study or prayer, the Holy Spirit continuously works within us. He is a way of life that penetrates our very being, turning us towards gospel living in order to find God in the midst of life. This could be the perfect antidote to the church's ignorance of God. As long as we are open to learning the truth and engaging with the mystery of grace. Some 20 years ago, two men came to the Bible study which I attended. Without the work of the Holy Spirit, they would never have been able to stand side by side like this. The man on the left is Steve Saint, and his father, Nate Saint, was a missionary pilot. And this guy on the right, Ming Kai Yi, is from a jungle tribe in Ecuador, a tribe known for being extremely violent. In 1956, while attempting to make contact with this isolated tribe, Nate and four other missionaries were killed by tribe warriors, and Ming Kai Yi was one of them. The death of the missionaries sparked significant interest in missions. Western missionaries, as well as local Christians in South America, came forward to approach this tribe. 2 years later, many tribal people were converted, including Ming Kai Yi. In fact, he became a church leader in the community. And the tribe was changed by the gospel, completely turned from the violent way of living. And there are two movies based on their stories. Steve was only 5 years old when his father was killed. His family continued their mission work. And Steve grew up among the tribal people. Years later, as an adult, Steve returned to the tribe to help them with various projects, and Ming Kai Yi adopted Steve as his tribal son. Brothers and sisters, we might say that these missionaries are very extraordinary people, and we, on the other hand, are just ordinary believers. Well, the truth is, the Holy Spirit works in ordinary people as well. A couple of months ago, a sister got into a cab. And then, right after she got in, she felt prompted to share her faith with the driver. She hesitated because sharing the gospel with a stranger sounds crazy and she had never did this before. But the prompting grew stronger. So she took a deep breath and began to speak. To her surprise, the driver said, "I also go to church before, but I don't go anymore." As the conversation continued, the sister got to know that the driver was addicted to gambling, which got him into big trouble, and his wife left with their two children. His life was so messy that he stopped going to church. The sister prayed in her heart while telling the brother about God's acceptance and forgiveness. She encouraged him to return to the church and seek help. And this brother was deeply moved and said that he never knew that God could forgive him after he became a believer. He promised he would definitely return to church. Brothers and sisters, there are many, many stories like this. The Holy Spirit is still working in churches all over the world. And the Holy Spirit is still working among ordinary people like you and me. Are we willing to be led by Him, taught by Him, and used by Him? Now, I'd like to invite the worship team on the stage again, and let's take a moment to reflect on the message, on the Word of God.